We barely hear the terms being stated by our friends or family, but hear this over and over again in movies, books, podcasts, and whatever we listen to. They say that art will sustain you. A couple of us, my dear listeners, harbor art as a hobby, even though we are passionate about it. And in a capitalistic world, it is almost impossible to believe that you can foster your passion while heeding to your survival. But I also believe that art enhances our perception to the unknown, and blending science and art together can help us analyze the unfathomable. And my guest understands this very, very well. The guest we have for our second episode of Breaking the Facts, the Art of SciComm, is the brilliant science illustrator Monica Yasnauskith. Currently a PhD student at EMBL, her journey began at Vilnius University, Lithuania, where she harbored a career in academia. Monica's commitment to scientific exploration then led her to roles at extremely well-known organizations like Thermo Fisher Scientific and Kazime. Her love for art, however, did not dim as she ventured into academia further. And now, a well-known scientific illustrator, Monica holds the power to turn science into stories through visual art. Join us on our talk about merging art with science with our special guest, Monica. So, as I introduced, I have Monica with me, whose surname I struggle to pronounce. So she will introduce herself again. I have already introduced you, Monica, and I am very, very happy and excited that you came here. This is the last episode, like I told you, of the season, and I'm closing the season with your episode. A friend of mine had recommended you, and I went to Twitter and I saw your work, and I was just in awe how beautifully we can communicate science through art. So tell about yourself to the listening community in India, because we guys don't know about that much art in SciComm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hi, Mahima. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm really glad that I'm here, and thank you for your kind words. It's really nice to be here and to speak more about science and art. So I've been interested in nature and finding out how things work since I was a little kid. So when I was little, I would drag home all kinds of snails and bugs and all kinds of critters and scare my mom entirely because I was so fascinated by all those tiniest quirky animals and nature, and I wanted to like have everything, see everything, and just to find out how the nature functions itself. So naturally my favorite subject in high school was biology, and when I was in my last year of high school, I wanted like to dive in more deeply and to find out how this world that is not visible to our eyes work. So I chose to study molecular biology at the university. So I graduated with bachelor's and master's in molecular biology at Vilnius University. So that is like for my, this is my educational part and the degrees that I've collected so far.
Yeah.
So as for the art side of me, I've been drawing as long as I remember myself. I think like when the kids start drawing and pick up pencils whenever they can hold up to the pencils, I was doing that as well. But I never stopped, and I'm drawing until now. So, but there's in general was some kind of a journey, like a lots of shifts and things like that in my art journey through life, if I could say that. For instance, back in high school, I was drawing a lot of portraits. I was using usually graphite pencils and doing lots of black and white artwork. But during my master's and bachelor's, I gradually transited to nature illustration because of the nature of my studies itself. So I also started incorporating some molecular biology objects like DNA and the cells and things like that because I was so influenced by the by my environment and lectures and professors and so on. So, but like the major breaking point, if I could call that, for my direction of illustration work was back in 2018 when I joined scientific illustration workshop organized by Transmitting Science. It was a really, really wonderful event. Our group of people gathered, mostly working in science from all over the world. And we were introduced to the basic knowledge required to do naturalistic scientific illustrations. And we did several illustrations using different traditional techniques. It was really incredible to meet all those people who were interested in both science and illustration. So after this workshop, I wanted to continue doing at least some work related to that. So I started looking for scientific illustration work opportunities on freelancing platforms, so such as Upwork and Fiverr.
Nice.
And I also started exploring social media platforms with a focus on visual communication. So firstly, I did that on Instagram. Then later on, I discovered Twitter. I never had a, for instance, a Twitter account before that. And this is, in general, this is how I learned that SciComm and scientific illustration in SciComm have their own niches.
Yeah, they are like very distinct when you come, especially in academic Twitter, you stand out because your illustrations are literally very good. So
yes.
Like that's how I was like drawn towards your Twitter profile, because I have not seen so many artists being in SciComm, you know, and since your first year PhD, it like, I don't know, it just clicked with me that, you know, you are also starting out in early in academia, and for me also. So just felt like we should talk, that's all. And
yeah.
It's really good. So Monica, again, like, how
And I would like to add, I also, when I joined Twitter, I was like totally blown away by the amount of scientists and amount of, for instance, PhD students as well, that were doing illustration or some kind of art besides their scientific career. So that was very encouraging as well to join this social media platform and share that kind of art
with them. Can be sometimes two-faced. I mean, it has its own disadvantages too. But for you, I think it turned out to be really good because you have your own Twitter niche now where you know that, you know, like there are a lot of scientific communicators alongside you. So that, I think that is good. So how...
And I do really love how people respond to that. I don't really have that kind of feedback and that kind of outreach on any other social media platform. Twitter is incredibly good for, I think, that kind of niche, because lots of people reach out to me and chat and whatever, send DMs and such. So it's really rewarding, at least for me, for the time being. Yeah.
It feels good when you get validation, I guess, you know, like, no matter,
I mean, feedback, no matter what, feedback is really important.
Important, yeah, to keep going. So how do you think, you know, the art that you do, how is it important to SciComm? And because, see, there is a general opinion that, you know, there is a gap between what happens in the tower of academia and what happens in general in the layman, and there is this gap that, you know, what happens in the laboratories never reaches general public, what reaches is just 1% of it. So how can we, people, let's just say, who are not educated, for them art can be a good medium. I feel personally like that. So how do you think that, you know, science can, science communication specifically through art, can, you know, like take away this gap of you know, this bridge in knowledge that exists between audiences and the ivory tower academic people?
So in my opinion, scientific illustration is basically a really good tool to deliver information in research. There are a lot of different scientific illustration categories that represent information for certain auditories. So like the more technical and methodical illustrations are important to deliver information in research papers, grant proposals, during presentations and internal communication channels within the research community that is familiar with certain topics. But when the information needs to be delivered to the broader audiences, I believe that artistic representation is an incredible tool.
Yeah.
When we tell the story in an engaging way, it is better understood and gains interest.
Mm.
So I think that, like, in the general public, we still encounter lots of debates about very important topics such as vaccinations. I think it really resonated a lot during COVID-19 pandemic and global warming, for instance. That is another major issue that gets a lot of complicated opinions. So I think if information is presented in an effective way, it can influence the decisions and opinions of the people and might lead them to make better judgment of the topic.
Yeah. And it's very important because science is the reaching of the truth, they say. Like,
yes,
you can reach truth, yeah, what is actually truth, through evidence in science.
Yeah.
And if that is taken away from people, we just start propagating all these, like you said, in COVID-19, all these myths were going around. About which vaccine to take or how do COVID viruses work. And that's when SciComm, boosted a lot, specifically in immunology. So there were like all these cartoon viruses going around. They were really cute. They were drawn.
Yeah, so,
and it's like,
yeah, for instance,
because of people.
For instance,
yeah, that, you know, we get to know, specifically general public who cannot read, they get to know how to make better decisions. Yeah. So I guess it's very important to convey art in SciComm, like you said.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Yeah. So when you met me, you were discussing, you know, we met once and like you took a break and you worked in an industry for a couple of years. Then you joined your PhD, like you said, and in a subject that you were really passionate about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell our audiences, because the idea of taking a break in academia doesn't fit in here. We are being told to go straight after our master's to get a PhD, otherwise like our degree is worthless. So how important it is to take breaks and recognize your worth in academia rather than continuously trying to fit in? How do you think that?
So yeah, I'm definitely not a traditional fit in the academia. I did finish my master's degree 5 years ago, and after that I worked in biotech industry in Lithuania. So I mostly worked on a wide range of projects and gained knowledge in areas such analytical methods development, genome editing tools, protein evolution in vitro, and some other. But over the years, I became interested in structural biology and cryogenic electron microscopy. So during my gap year, I basically got to know myself better. I learned my boundaries, my limits. I got to set up my goals. And because of that, I think that everyone has their own path.
Yeah.
You should always ask yourself what you want to do for you in the first place and not what everyone expects of you. So if you think that it's suitable for you to take a gap and perhaps to work on something a little bit different and such, so you should definitely do that and not to follow like the mainstream and such.
Yeah, but the idea of that doesn't fit in that well in academia. I think you also agree with that, right? So did it impact you, you know, after 5 years, did you see your colleagues being younger than you or older than you? Was there any discrimination faced because of your age? And since, you know, you're a woman in STEM, you are staying away from your family and you're making a career in research. Like you said, like we mentioned, we go back to our family and we feel like we are guests now. So I had this question. First of all, of course, because of the age that you mentioned, you took a 5-year gap.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, did you feel, less appreciated than your male counterparts, that those are also doing research? And if so, is there any instance that you would like to share, if you're comfortable with, of course, that is.
Yeah, so as for the age, yes, I do feel the difference. And I do feel this, a gap that is not that too broad in comparison to other first-year PhD students. But yes, I do feel that, and I do feel that I approach certain topics or actions in a bit different way that is more probably like thought out and more mature and not that direct probably. And I mean, it's still fine. I do understand the people and everything is all right. But yes, there is that kind of age difference that I just don't really agree with the other first year students that much if I would be their age, for instance.
And
I do feel that kind of like expectation that I should like act the correspond that I should act like if I would be younger, if that's kind of understandable. I mean, I'm expected to react or to respond to some kind of situations if I would be like a 20-ish something person, but I'm not I always feel like I'm not gonna respond to that because I'm like I'm a 30 years old lady and I have my maybe you my opinions and my boundaries, and I'm just not gonna like go back in time and respond in certain ways.
Yeah, but Monica, you don't look 30-year-old. You look like some.
Oh, thank you so much.
You look really young. You look really, really young. I'm not kidding.
Thank you. Actually,
beautiful you are.
Actually, women in our family are rather young looking. So when we gather together, we do look like a bunch of children. For some reason, I don't know. Maybe our mitochondria is really great.
I wish I had those. So anything, anyways, it's fine. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe people are like, I'm disguising myself with my young looks.
Really pretty.
But like how I feel inside, it's a bit different.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, and for this.
Male, female.
So I haven't experienced direct discrimination because of that I'm a woman, but at least from my personal experience, there's a like a slight different approach how the duties are distributed at workplaces sometimes. For instance, I sometimes encounter those situations when those technical aspects of job are being like accounted to women, and men get to do this more fundamental work, to think about ideas and not to be burdened by the little tasks of routine jobs. But I mean, it's I do not relate to a certain institution or a workplace. It's just like a general approach how women are being seen at the like job market or at the workplaces. Like women are the caregivers, the like we have this a mom image.
Yeah, they
and
do.
Have to do all the mom jobs. So yeah, it's in a slightly that kind of situation.
So was it the same when you were working in industry as well? You're saying that, right? Like
it's more of a, like a general, like a general.
Okay.
General impression of the situation. It does exist. I think in not like only in science or in industry or something like that. It's for the general approach of the job market.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, because these things are like taught to us from the very beginning in our textbooks itself.
Yes.
I think it's a worldwide thing, right? Like
in
India, we have images of men being associated to doctor, engineer, and of a woman to be more like sacrificer or or taker.
Yeah.
Because of these things, I think I have ingrained these things. I think you might have too. And when people see that, they take advantage of you. So they will give you all these menial tasks and jobs in general. So I think that is the case in everywhere in the globe. And I don't know what to do about it, to be honest, to unlearn
I guess it takes time and generations just to outgrow that kind of situations.
Yeah, and I guess like our next generation, if educated, since our generation is going to be, our next generation should turn out to be, you know, a little bit more respectful and, you know, towards women.
It's gonna get there.
Yeah, I hope it gets better. It has gotten better over the years for us.
It has to go better.
Yeah. So I hope in the coming time, it's not just, you know, memes about women being thrown around too again. Like, we also deserve a space in science, and we've been fighting our asses off since like ages. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know when will it happen. We are struggling now also. I myself feel like that, and I'm just in my master's, so I can't imagine in PhD how, you know, you manage even in industry, because you are more experienced. So that's why. Yeah. But I guess it gets better. Tell me that, Monica. Tell me it gets better.
It's get better. It's gonna get better. We will make it better.
Yeah, we will make it better. Exactly. So do you have any concluding remarks for, you know, the listening community here right now?
Oh, I just want to thank you for having me and for this opportunity to talk with you and with your audience.
I think I
thank
should
you so much.
Thank you for coming here and speaking. This is not, you know, like you agreed to come and you agreed to speak. And given how you were nervous before, I think you did like brilliantly, you know. Like, you just
thank you.
Yeah. Spoke very nicely. I know, Monica, like, English might not be your, you know, native. You have not studied that well. So given that, coming to, you know, an English podcast hosted by an Indian, you still managed to speak so well. So I think you deserve a pat, and you should be very proud for coming in.
Yeah, it's my first time doing this kind of thing. So, very nice, very exciting.
Yeah. See, when I started out, I thought that only my friends will listen to me. You know, I made my first episode with these headphones. I didn't even have a proper laptop at that time. I had headphones, and I had a phone, and I just started recording my episode, hoping that, you know, at least two of my friends listen. And it turned out to be really good. So similarly, I think when we start out doing something that we love, like you started out SciComm art, people are appreciating it. But I believe that you are a brilliant talker. You are a brilliant speaker also. I've talked to you. You have amazing insights about the questions that I sent you. So you shouldn't worry about so much, you know. Like, you are an amazing, beautiful 30-year-old. You deserve everything.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's very nice of you to say that.
So any concluding remarks for the community, apart from me, that is it. People here, do you want to say anything to Indian people or anything in general?
I'm not sure. I think I just wanted to encourage people to maybe to find out perhaps a bit different ways and different maybe jobs or things that they might do in science, because it's not restricted just to the office or to the lab or things like that. You can find your own niche and thrive in it. So I would wish courage and happiness to all of the listeners.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much, Monica, again for coming. I also believe science has become like you know, an industry of itself, where you need communicators, you need editors, you need writers, you need storytellers, you need artists like you. So I think like a lot of science that occurs in labs, people need to realize that that is not, science is not just restricted to that. So the traditional notion of science has moved ahead, and people are stuck in the 19th and 20th century. So it's sad.
Exactly.
I hope people realize it soon. And thank you for coming and speaking.
Thank you.
You did amazing. Let me just tell you that. And you are really beautiful. I wish people could see how I can see. And I can't believe you are 30-year-old. I just, it's crazy. You look like a 16-year-old. I'm just, thank you for coming and speaking.
Thank you
I hope
so
you
much.
Have a good time, Monica, because since this is your first time, I'm in a night suit and I just came, you know, like without any microphone or anything. But I just wanted this to be very natural, you know, a very natural talk.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming. And I'm sweating now, so I think I'll switch on my fan. But thank you for speaking and coming again. I wish you all the very best with whatever future project that you have. And I would recommend you to people here in India also. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Mahima. Wishing all you all the best for you as well.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming out of our comfort zone, we realize how far we can actually go. Monica gives us the example of it. I would like to thank her again for coming to our show and gracing us with her kind, inspirational words. And to you, my dear listeners, I'm always thankful. Remember, growth begins at the end of our comfort zone. And the moment we step out of it, we need to hold on to faith. And the only faith we all would ever need is to trust in ourselves. Go against the norm if you want to, and watch as the magic happens. Thank you all for tuning in, and I'll see you in the next episode. Till then, stay warm, stay safe, and remember to keep trying to be a better version of you than yesterday. Bye.